Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast for the weekend of June 4th, 2023. This week's sermon is titled, The Word, A Lamp and a Light, by guest pastor Dave Lewis.
Kerry is on a trip. He's in Hilton Head right now doing a wedding for his niece. And so he's out of the pulpit. We have David. He's going to be coming up, and Dave Lewis. He is married to Diane. They're members here, but you don't see him much because he's retired. But he's preaching someplace every weekend. He's been preaching in Liscum because Ralph passed away. He's a hard guy to get, and he's retired. And so here's the thing: ministers never retire. If you still have that calling, we don't retire, and that is a neat thing. I hope you're writing a playbook, because I want to take it. I want to be you when you retire, that you just never say no because it's in your heart and you keep saying yes to God. And it is a privilege, my brother, that you're here this morning.
Thank you.
Let's
Thank
give
you.
A hand.
Thank you. It's good to be with you this morning. As you notice, we're in Psalm 119, so if you want to take your Bibles and turn to that, and I'd encourage you to keep your Bible with you. Encourage you to keep your Bible with you because we're going to refer to it several other times. A single mom returned home from working to find that her teenage daughter was sick and not feeling well at all. It was late in the day, they called the doctor, but obviously that wouldn't work out, and the doctor tried to say that they'd try to see him in the morning. He said, "But from what you tell me, from what you've described, I think I can prescribe some medicine that might help until we can see her." So he said, "I'll call into the pharmacy, you pick it up." And so she told her daughter she was driving to the pharmacy. She gets to the pharmacy. She goes in. She picks up the medicine. She comes out. And her car's locked. And the keys are in the car. She calls her daughter and tells her the situation. And the teenage daughter, frustrating, says, Mom, go back into the pharmacy. Ask him for a metal coat hanger. Come out. Make it like a hook. Put it down between the door and the window and pull it up. Everything will be fine." So she did that, and she came back out, and she tried, and she tried, and she tried, and she tried, and she could not get the door open. She's standing there beside the door, beside the car. She bowed her head, and she said, "Lord, I'm in real trouble here. I really need some help. I could really use your help." As she's praying, she hears a noise, and she looks up, and a man is pulled in right next to her. And as he gets out of the car, she explains the situation to him and asks him if he can help. And he comes over, and he takes the coat hanger, and he works with it for a few minutes, puts it down in there, pulls it up, and the door opens. She says, "Oh, thank you so much. You're such a nice man." And he said, "Well, to tell you the truth, lady, I'm really not a nice man. In fact, I just got out after serving 2 years in prison." And after saying that, he walked away. As he walks away, she throws her hands in the air and she says, "Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. You sent a professional." Now, I don't know if he did or not, but you can't discount it, can you? Are you familiar with Isaiah 55? If you look at Isaiah 55, it'll say, God says, "My ways are not your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than yours and my thoughts than yours." So, if that's true, then how do we know God's ways? How do we know God's thoughts? Well, if you're in Psalm 119, it tells us. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 105. "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. I have given an oath and confirmed it. that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. Accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth, and teach me your laws. Though I am constantly taking my life into my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my inheritance forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. If you notice in that portion of Scripture, how many different words he used to describe the word? Over and over and over again. God's word is how we find out his ways, is how we find out his thoughts. In the message in Ephesians, it says, God's word is an indispensable weapon. So, as you do a deep dive, as you do a study into God's word, we find that as Christians, God has three things that he tells us that should be part of our life. A guideline, if you will. Number one, fear not. Fear not. In Isaiah 43:1, it says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. You are mine. I have summoned you by my name. If you do a study in the word, you find that over and over and over again. We know that when the angels appeared to Mary, they said to her, when they told her that she was going to have a child, they said what? Fear not. When the angels came to announce to the shepherds, and the shepherds were quaking, they said, fear not. When Jesus was walking to the disciples on the water, and they thought it was a ghost, and they trembled, and Jesus said, fear not. When they were in a storm, and Jesus was asleep in the boat, and they went down to get him up, in the middle of this storm, he said to them, oh, you little faith, fear not. Now, think about that for just a minute. I know you're familiar with the story, but these were seasoned fishermen. They lived their lives on this water. They knew a storm when there was a storm, and this was a storm. There was plenty to fear here. And yet Jesus said to them, fear not. Did you know that there are 366 fear not verses in the Bible? That should tell us something, shouldn't it? Now, having said that, you might be saying, but you don't know my situation. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm dealing with. Well, without in any way trying to minimize your situation and what you're going through or what you're dealing with, I would still say to you this morning that Jesus' words to you would be, fear not. Why? What's the scripture tell us? What's the scripture give us so that we shouldn't fear? It tells us we shouldn't fear because of who he is, because of what we have in him. If you're still in Psalms, that's good. If not, turn back to it, and we're in Psalm 77. Psalm 77. Psalm 77, and we're picking it up in verse 13. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The water saw you, God. The water saw you and withered. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters. Though your footprints were not seen, you led your people like a flock. What's he telling us? How great is our God? Who we have, who we trust in. David Jeremiah says, and this is a takeaway quote, David Jeremiah says, remember, it's not great faith you need, it's faith in a great God. Now, it's interesting, as I was working on this, I was thinking about, so we need to what? Not fear, but have faith. Faith in a great God. But for me, there was a long time when, without giving it much thought, sadly, I thought that the opposite of faith was unbelief. If you didn't believe, you didn't have faith. Turns out the commentaries tell us and the devotional writers tell us that that's not true. The opposite of faith is fear. When I fear, when you fear, when we fear, it shows we don't have faith in God. In fact, David Jeremiah did a whole sermon series on, he entitled it, Faith versus Fear. And he said, in life we choose to either have faith or we fear. And he said, I choose and I encourage you to choose faith. He said, in the scriptures, God's charge to his people to be courageous is almost always followed by his promise of divine help. When you've been faithful to the Lord, and when you are seeking to obey and honor him, you can face anything without fear because God is faithful to walk with you. And Oswald Chambers said, worry, and what's worry? Worry is what starts us down the fear path. He says, worry is an indication that we think God cannot look out for us. But we think he can, right? So, fear not. Okay, number two, lean not. Lean not. Remember, it's not great faith you need, but faith in a great God. So, lean not. This is, if you turn to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3. Now I found, and I don't know what you do, I just tagged this one, but you can highlight it if you do that with your Bible, but somehow these ought to be verses that you see again and again and again. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's what we've just been talking about. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to God, and he will make your path straight. But it tells us what? Lean not on your own understanding, on your own wisdom. And in case we miss it, in verse 7 it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. And what's it telling us there? Don't do that. Don't trust in your own wisdom, in your own understanding. Don't lean on that. Now, this is a main scripture, but I listed for you several others, and there are a lot more that talk about this theme. That what are we leaning on in our life? Are we leaning on God? Are we leaning on God's wisdom? Or are we leaning on the world's? Or are we leaning on our own? Now, I'm pretty sure that as we read that, many people read that, lean not on your own understanding, And they think that means that other people shouldn't do that. That scripture is for other people. I can lean on my own understanding. No, that isn't what it says, does it? It doesn't say lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. Except for you people who... No, it says to all of us, lean not on your own understanding. Since I retired, been out preaching on Sunday mornings, and we also, since we retired, have been helping with grandkids. We've been doing that for quite a few years now. That's where I got these gray hairs. And so, like I said, we've been doing it for quite a few years, and my oldest grandchild, we have nine, my oldest grandchild is going to be a freshman next year. When he was way younger, he was in preschool, and we started helping. They live in Clive. They moved to Clive at that time. And we started going down. My daughter was still doing virtual work. And so 3 days a week, we drove down there and spent the day with them. And since we were down there that much anyway, and he was in preschool, and my wife is a retired teacher, she volunteered at the preschool. So she did that the whole year. The next year, his brother Lyndon was in the same preschool, and so she volunteered again. So what I'm telling you is that all the teachers in that preschool knew her. So they did some sort of testing, and apparently Lyndon did very well on the testing, and the teacher was congratulating him. She was really pouring it on, and she said to him, "Your grandma must have helped you." And he said, "No, I'm just really smart." Kids. However, that's not something that we say out loud. But it is something we think. But the scripture tells us what? Don't lean on your own understanding. Seek, the scripture says, wisdom that comes from above. Okay. Henry Blackaby tells us that we are not to lean... I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself there. Instead of leaning on our own understanding, he says that we need to trust him. We need to keep our eyes steadfastly on Jesus. We need to see, when we do that, he says, he will see us through any storm. And when he does, you will have grown to trust him at a deeper level of faith than you ever have before. When we do that, when we trust him, who are we leaning on and what are we leaning on? Not on what we think, not on our wisdom, on the wisdom that comes from him. I read several devotional writers, and one of the writers that I read is Ann Graham Lotz. And I noticed that it wasn't every day, but it might be every week, and it was quite often that when I would read her devotional, she would end the devotion by saying, "Trust him, trust him, trust him." And then it wouldn't be too long, I'd be reading another one, and "Trust him, trust..." I said, over and over and over again, I would read, "Trust him, trust him, trust him." I said, "Okay, Ann, I get it. Trust him, trust him, trust him." Except that's the problem, isn't it? So often we don't get that. So often that's not what we do. It's not where we lean. Now you might think, easy for her to say. I mean, daughter of a famous evangelist, good life. Of course, she can trust him, trust him, trust him. What does she have to deal with? Well, I did a little study, and this is what I found. Her husband's business burnt to the ground. Her son was diagnosed with cancer, and at the beginning, it was very up in the air what that meant. Her husband passed away. And most recently, in the last couple of years, she's been dealing with cancer. Sounds to me like she's had to deal with a little bit in her life. And yet she says what? Trust him, trust him, trust him. Proverbs tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Okay, number three. Let not. If you turn this time to the book of John chapter 14. John chapter 14, one of the more famous scriptures in all the Bible, where we read, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me also, that where I am, there you may be also. So we're told to let not your heart be troubled. What's the topic here? The topic here that Jesus is addressing is the end of your life. The end of my life. That's a topic that causes trouble for a lot of people. And yet Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. He's telling us that we should not be troubled because what? We've read this several times already today. Because he is sovereign. Because he has it all under control. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have such a limited view. God is omniscient. He sees all things. He knows all. We can trust him. The Apostle Paul says in the powerful portion of Scripture, if we only have hope in this life, we are of all men most miserable. But he says in Philippians chapter 1, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. David Jeremiah tells us the Christian life is a commitment that always looks towards eternity. I was telling somebody before church started that for the last couple of months, until a few weeks ago, I was filling in at the Liscum Church of Christ. Their pastor, Ralph Norman, maybe some of you know him. I know there's some of you that know him, passed away suddenly. And so anyway, I've been filling in there. And I knew Ralph too. In fact, I filled in for him on some occasions. He didn't very often take vacation, but anyway, they had been working on since July. Do you know that churches can move kind of slowly sometimes? They had been working on since July because in July they celebrated their 150th year as a church. And so they wanted to combine that with a church directory that they thought they needed. And so after the celebration, they started working on that. Well, he passed away, and I was just there the last few months. And while I was there, they finally got it out after he had passed away. But the front page of the book was a letter written by Ralph. And I'm not going to read you all of it. But he says on the front of that, he first quotes, we've already used it today, Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and die is gain. And then he says, we must always remember that our true citizenship is in heaven. We are just travelers on this earth. My dad was a Christian. My dad accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. My dad believed in what Max Lucado calls the great whosoever clause. You know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. My dad believed in that. My dad trusted in that. The last year of my dad's life was pretty difficult. He spent a lot of time in and out of the hospital. So he was in the hospital for what turned out to be the last time. And we were visiting with him that night. Family was visited with him. And when we got done, we gathered around his bed and had prayer. And when we finished, my brother said to him, he said, "Dad, we'll see you tomorrow." And my dad said, "I don't know if I'll be here tomorrow." And my brother said, "Well then, Dad, we'll see you in heaven." Folks, aren't we great? Aren't we thankful we have that hope? Let not your heart be troubled. Bill Gaither, in one of his most famous songs, the chorus of the song says, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives." So there you go. The Bible tells us, fear not, lean not, let not.
Come here, brother.
I'm done.
Yes, it's great. Hey, can we pray for you?
I love it when people pray for me.
Thanks, Dave. Well, Lord, we just thank you. I thank you for Dave and Diane. Lord, I just thank you that this couple never stops serving you. They're always saying yes. And Lord, I pray upon him and that you will direct his paths. And Lord, that they'll keep saying yes to you. Thank you for teaching us we never retire when it comes saying yes to you. Whatever age, young or old, we're in it to win it. And Lord, I just thank you for the paths you're going to direct him. The church, there's so many churches that are about ready to shut down that need to fill the pulpit, and he's saying yes, and they travel. Lord, I pray that that calling still burns inside of him until you call him home. And so, Lord, just thank you for days of refreshing. We thank you for the scripture today of to have faith and not have fear. So, Lord, I pray you bless this man and all that he does, and we love them very much. In the name of Jesus, we all say, amen. Let's give another hand of praise.
Thank you, brother.
You betcha. Well, we're gonna get out early, I guess. You can beat the Baptist to the Perkins over there. I don't know, but anyways. Next week, we're going to be looking at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel. And so go ahead and study up on that. And so you're dismissed. Let's go be the church wherever you do life, and have a great day.